happiness is in this world. I haven't gotten it yet. I didn't get it today, but I'll get it soon. We all have that faith. So the whole thing leads to a lot of suffering, actually, because once you're attached in the world, in this life also you suffer a lot. It's like being on a boat out in the ocean with no ballast, no anchor, no stability. You're just blown here and there. Whichever way the wind is blowing, whichever way the waves smash you, you go. When you're attached in the world, that's what life feels like sometimes. Because naturally in life, you're going to have ups and downs. Sarve chayanta nichaya patananta samuchraya. Everything in this world is temporary. Every meeting ends in separation. Life ends in death. Everything that you can hold on to will deteriorate and eventually end. So there's nothing stable that you can count on in this world. Not when looking at it from a spiritual point of view. Compared to God, who's permanent, perfect, absolute bliss, loves you unconditionally, compared to that, this world is very, very unstable. We are unstable. So whether you're counting on a thing or a person, it creates instability in the life. Because we're so chanchal, our mind is so changeable. One day we want one thing, the next day we want the next thing. So when we're in relationships in this world with our relatives, with the people we love, when we expect happiness from them, that you should behave in a certain way to make me happy, it rarely works out because they have their own desires. They're also hoping for something from you. So we feel very unstable. Today I'm so happy because my son did this for me. Oh, he's such a good boy, so loving. Then later in the same day, your son ignored you or did something that you weren't proud of. Now you feel miserable. Life is going to have ups and downs. It doesn't mean we have to have the same ups and downs in here. You have the choice of saying, okay, this person was nice to me. They behaved in a way that was favorable. That's good. Later on, they may behave unfavorable towards me. That's also fine. Both possibilities are there in the world. I have to accept both. Not just possibilities, they will happen. And they happen in a cyclical way. One follows the other. You never only have good things happen to you with no bad things. And you never only have bad things happening with no good things. It's always a mix. Sure, you may have more or less depending on your past karma and what your prarabdha is in this life. But it's always a mix. But to have that perspective on life, you have to fix that original mistake. No one can have that healthy spiritual perspective on life if they believe themselves to be the body. How can you? If I am the body, then this world is mine. This person is mine, and I have to find my happiness from this world. Because I am the body, so I am material. And this world is material, so it's going to make me happy. As long as you believe yourself to be the body, you can never fix this understanding. But as long as Maya has control over us, how will you remember that you're the soul? And when is Maya going to go away? When you turn towards God. So that's the cure. It's also the problem. The original problem is we're vimukh from God. We're turned away from Him. That started this whole problem. Like when you learn math, let's say you're solving a math problem, and when you're doing that, it may take you several lines to come to the answer. Like in simple algebra, when you're solving for X, you have to rearrange things and it takes you a few lines. What if you make a mistake in the first line? And then you further calculate in the second line according to that mistake. The mistake in the first line is compounded further in the second line. In other words, it becomes even more wrong. Then you go to the third line and you do further calculations based on the more wrong that you had in the second line. It becomes even more wrong. You keep going and going. That's what happens to, we're turned away from God. Mistake number one. Then because of Maya, we forget who we are. Mistake number two. We believe ourselves to be the body. Then we get attached in, we look for happiness in the world. That causes us to get attached in the world. Then all the sufferings befall us. There's no escape at that point from suffering because we're so focused in on getting happiness from this world. And what is the world going to do? It's going to give us what it has, which is a mix of good and bad, always in limitations, never perfection. The world is going to give us what it has. And yet we're looking for perfection and we're bent on finding that perfection in this world, so we're bound to be disappointed and we're bound to suffer and we're bound to be reborn again and again in this world because of our attachments. In the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, there's a story of a great saint named Rishi Markandeya. Rishi Markandeya got the divine vision of Shri Krishna. And when Shri Krishna said, ask for something, I'll give you anything, he said, I want a vision of your Maya. Maya that produces the universe and makes us forget who we are. I want to get a vision of your Maya. I want to see it, understand what it is. So Shri Krishna said, okay, it will happen. But it didn't happen right then and there. Rishi Markandeya went back to his hut in his ashram in the jungle and went about his simple life. One day, it started raining really hard. A huge storm. And it rained so much that the water was just flooding in from the four directions and getting higher and higher. And it covered everything until he was just floating in this ocean that had covered the earth. There was nothing more to be seen. There were these big, giant whirlpools swirling here and there all over. And he was alone in the world. There was no one else he could see, and he was bobbing along on the surface of the ocean, and the wind was battering him here and there, and the waves were tossing him this way and that way, and the storm raged on. Sometimes some aquatic creatures and some crocodiles would come and bite at him. Sometimes he'd get swept down in a whirlpool and he'd die, but then he'd regain consciousness. Sometimes he was overtaken by feelings of grief. Sometimes he felt joy. Sometimes he felt anger. In this way, he went on for millions of years, living, dying, suffering, enjoying, getting tossed here and there. Finally, after millions of years, he sees this island on the horizon. And he goes closer to it. And he sees on this small island in the middle of this endless ocean, there is a banyan tree. A vat vriksh. Vriksh means a tree. Vat is the banyan tree. So this young banyan tree growing on this island. And when he goes closer, he sees there's a huge leaf which is cupped kind of like this. And in the cup of that leaf, there's a beautiful blue baby lying there. Shri Krishna. Bal Mukund. So he went up close and he saw, oh, baby Krishna is lying there. He's reclining and in his hand, he's holding his foot, and he's pulling his foot to his mouth, and he's sucking on his big toe. So he had this vision of Shri Krishna, and all of that suffering was gone. Everything disappeared, and he was back to normal. So then he understood, okay, that's Maya. And only when I got Shri Krishna, then I was free from Maya. So we've been drowning and regaining consciousness and drowning some more in this ocean of Maya for uncountable lifetimes. There's no limit to it. See, one shouldn't think, okay, then when did I turn away from Shri Krishna? When did I become Vimukh? I must have been Sanmukh at some point and then I became Vimukh. No, because once you are Sanmukh, you can never become Vimukh. If you are with God, that is forever. This is a very important point. This is a point that is not explained anywhere except in our philosophy of Sanatan Dharma. And it's actually a little bit hard to grasp for some people because it's tied in with the concept of eternity and infinity, which doesn't fit into our limited brains. So you're telling me I've never been with God? I've been turned away from God forever? Yes. Had you ever been with God, you could have never come under the bondage of Maya. You could have never forgotten about him. So just by virtue of this fact that today we are turned away from God, today we are under the bondage of Maya, it proves that we've always been. Because there's only two choices. Either you're under the bondage of Maya or you're with God. And if you had been with God, you could never come under the bondage of Maya. And you are an eternal soul. So it means if you're under Maya today, you've been under Maya since eternity. Which means you must have been Vimukh from God since eternity. It means we never even had a clean slate. Sometimes people say, okay, in my first birth, no, there's no first. It's endless. It never began, like a circle. No beginning, no end. Okay, so when I did my first karma, no, there was never a first karma. Okay, so when I didn't have any attachment in this world, no, you've always been attached in the world. So that whatever is our situation today, this minute, is what it's been forever. Forever we've been turned away from God, believing ourselves to be this physical body, forgetting that we're the soul, forgetting that we're actually related to God, and looking with 100% faith towards this world to find happiness. That's how we've been forever. But the solution is simple. The solution is right in our hands. Just do Rup Dhyan. Keep thinking of God. Keep thinking of Shri Krishna, his leelas. The more you do that, when I say your mind gets purified, what that also means is that your mind is gradually turning towards Shri Krishna. It happens in percentages. It doesn't happen all at once. So if you did some devotion today, you increased your angle towards Shri Krishna. You're a little more towards him than you were yesterday. Keep practicing every day. You'll get closer and closer. When you become totally sanmukh, like the parasmani and the iron, when they touch, the iron becomes gold. So when you become 100% sanmukh to Shri Krishna, Maya's gone instantly. For you, Maya doesn't cease to exist, but the bondage of Maya is finished. And you meet him face to face. Bhidyate hridaya granthish chidyante sarvasanshaya chiyante chasya karmani Drisht evatmanishvare. Bhagavatam says, as soon as you see Shri Krishna, all of your past karma is gone. The knot of ignorance and confusion is finished, gone, loosened in your heart forever. And that's it. You become like Shri Krishna. You become equally blissful as Him, equally knowledgeable as Him. And all of this just happens through this gradual process of loving Him through this Rup Dhyan. Doing internal bhakti. So this is what the Bhagavatam tells us. You see, it makes everything, it takes all those philosophies and it brings them into one. But of course, even to understand Bhagavatam takes the help of a true God-realized spiritual master. So whatever I'm explaining to you, whatever I have explained to you in the last 3 days, it's only what I've learned from Jagadguru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj, because even though Bhagavatam is the explanation of Brahma Sutra and Upanishads, but still it's not meant to be studied on your own. You can read the Leelas of the Bhagavatam and gain that benefit. But as far as studying the Siddhant, the actual philosophy of the Bhagavatam, that's not recommended for any scripture for a person to go and study it on his own. You need the help of someone. Sadguru Vaidya Vachan Vishvasa Sanjamayah Navishaya Ki Asa. Tulsidas Ji says, the true God-realized saint is like a Vaidya, like a doctor, who prescribes the correct medicine according to your symptoms, who diagnoses according to your symptoms and tells you this is what's wrong and you need to take this kind of treatment, follow this treatment plan. So we need someone who's actually one with God, who's attained God, to explain all of these intricate and nuanced spiritual matters to us. So whatever I've been able to share with you in the last few days is only due to the grace of Shri Kripaluji Maharaj. He has explained the Bhagavatam in his speeches and in his writings. So according to that, I've shared some of that philosophy with you. So now we understand that the philosophy of the Bhagavatam is great. Now here one last story that demonstrates that the Bhagavatam is on its own level due to the ras of the Bhagavatam. See, one time Naradji came after Kaliyug had begun. Shri Krishna had gone back to the divine world, leaving the earth planet. As soon as he left, Kaliyug began. Sometime after that, Naradji said, let me go and see what's happening on earth. Let me see how Kaliyug is progressing. So he went all around and he was amazed at what he saw. Because it was still so early in Kaliyug and things had gotten so bad. Kaliyug actually lasts for 432,000 years. It's the shortest of the four yugas. Each one is multiples of Kaliyug. Dwapar Yug, the one before Kaliyug, is twice as long as Kaliyug. Treta Yug, the one before that, is three times as long. And Satyug, the first yug, is four times as long as Kaliyug. So if you add them all up, it comes to 4,320,000 years to go around those four yugas once. Kaliyug is only 432,000 years, like nothing. Now we've just begun Kaliyug. Kaliyug began in 3102 BCE. That's 5,117 years ago. Out of 432,000, again, it's like nothing. We've just begun Kaliyug. So Naradji came and he saw, okay, it's the beginning of Kaliyug and things have gotten so bad. Everywhere he went, he saw people becoming so selfish, so lazy, quarreling in the family, doing everything for money. Even spiritually speaking, he went to so many holy places and he saw that people are just trying to promote themselves and they're talking about God, but they're actually just having selfish motivation for their religious looking actions. He said, things are in a very bad state. Let me go and see what's happening in Vrindavan. He went to Vrindavan, and although at that time things were better in Vrindavan, when he got there, he went near the bank of Yamuna River, and he saw a beautiful young woman near the bank of Yamuna River, and she had two old men lying near her. One lying this way, she had his head in her lap, and one lying this way with his head in her lap. And she looked very distressed. These two elderly men they looked like they were barely conscious. And all around her, there were many young devis, young maidens who were serving this beautiful young woman, fanning her or bringing things for her, taking care of her. And she was crying. So Naradji came close and he inquired that, "Oh, my lady, who are you and what's wrong?" She said, "Naradji, my name is Bhakti." She is Bhakti personified. "My name is Bhakti and these are my two sons, Gyan and Vairagya." Gyan is knowledge and Vairagya is detachment. Gyan and Vairagya are the sons of Bhakti because they're produced through Bhakti. The more your mind gets attached to God, the more true knowledge dawns in the mind. Like, I am the soul. You start to actually know that, not intellectually, but experientially. Shri Krishna is everywhere. You start to experience that. So true knowledge comes through the experience of bhakti. And the more you experience that, the more you desire God and the less attached you are in the world. So detachment is also produced through bhakti. So knowledge and detachment personified are the sons of personified bhakti. But they were old. She said, "Naradji, this Kaliyug is so bad. Actually, all three of us were in this miserable state. But when I came to Vrindavan, I became young again. But my sons did not. They're still suffering." Naradji said, "Yes, this is the effect of Kaliyug, because in Kaliyug, the spiritual path becomes so distorted. There are so many people teaching wrong things about God and about the path to God. So this is why you're suffering in this way, and this is why your sons are suffering. Now you were revived coming to Vrindavan, but your sons have not been revived. So we have to think of something." So Naradji said, "Let me recite Vedas, Upanishads." He tried that. They kind of gained a little bit of energy, it looked like, but they still couldn't open their eyes. He recited Brahma Sutra, he recited Gita again and again. Still, even though they were able to sit up, open their eyes, but they were still very tired, no energy, and they went back into an unconscious state. He tried this many times, reciting all the various scriptures, but he was unsuccessful in reviving Gyan and Vairagya. He closed his eyes and he prayed to Shri Krishna that, "What should I do?" Shri Krishna told him, "Go to Badrika Ashram. You have to do a great good karma." What is that great good karma that will revive Gyan and Vairagya? He couldn't find out. But he went to Badrika Ashram, and while he was there feeling frustrated that I can't figure it out, He again closed his eyes, prayed to Shri Krishna, and Sanakadik Paramahans came. Four Jnani saints, eternal Jnani saints who are also avatar of God. They came and asked Naradji, why the long face? So he explained the whole situation to them. They said, Naradji, this can only be resolved through reciting the Bhagavatam. Only the Bhagavatam can revive Jnana and Vairagya. So he said, okay, tell me what to do. They said, go to Haridwar. On the banks of Haridwar, you'll find one beautiful sandy bank. It's called Anand Ghat. Go over there and make the preparations for a recitation of Bhagavatam. We'll come over there and tell Bhagavatam. So Naradji went and made all the preparations. Of course, there were already many saints living over there, but word spread far and wide. So many, many rishis, munis, saints, with their disciples, with their families, and even regular people, all of them came and gathered there. And in fact, even the other 17 Puranas in their divine form, and the Vedas in their divine form, they all came and sat, wanting to hear the Bhagavatam. So as soon as Sanakadik Paramahans started, they just started telling Bhagavat Mahatmya. They haven't even started Bhagavatam yet. They're telling the greatness of Bhagavatam, like an introduction. Bhakti and Jnana and Vairagya came over there, appeared there in the midst of everybody. And Bhakti was already young, but Jnana and Vairagya also became young right there. And then they told the whole Bhagavatam, all the philosophy, all the leelas from beginning to end. And by the end, Bhakti, Jnana and Vairagya were dancing in joy. So only the Bhagavatam was able to accomplish this. You can say that just like in the divine world, there's different levels of divine attainment. You can attain formless God. You can attain Vaikunth abode, which is above that, where you meet God in person, but He's almighty. You don't get to partake in any of His leelas. Beyond that, you have Shri Krishna, who's not totally almighty, but slightly formal, like He is in Dwarika. So we say Dwarikadhish Shri Krishna. More loving, you have Shri Krishna of Mathura. More loving than that, you have Shri Krishna of Golok and Vrindavan. So the various scriptures relate to these different levels of bliss as well. The other 17 Puranas, the Vedas, they relate to Vaikunth abode, the almighty abode of Shri Krishna. Gita, slightly beyond that. That was told by Dwarikadhish Shri Krishna. But the Bhagavatam is related to Golok abode of Shri Krishna, and it embodies the bliss of Golok abode. So that's why only Bhagavatam was able to arouse Shukadevji from his samadhi, and only Bhagavatam was able to bring Jnana and Vairagya back to their youthful selves. So in this short time that we've had in the last 3 days, I've explained a little bit, giving you a few examples here and there of the Bhagavatam, its philosophy, and its leelas. I'll just share one more little jhanki of Shri Krishna's leelas as they're described in the Bhagavatam, because it may help you in your Roop Dhyan. So it's told that when Shri Krishna was old enough to start crawling, but of course Balaram was also there, so they were always a pair. When they were old enough to start crawling, so they would often do, you know, they're very innocent, very naive little boys. Let's say they're out in the courtyard, and you know, Mother Yashoda and Rohini, they're there to look after them, but they also have their household duties. They can't be watching them every second. So let's say they're out crawling around in the courtyard and maybe somebody goes walking by. So Balaram and Krishna start crawling along behind them. just following a total stranger. And then all of a sudden, you know, the stranger may turn around and look and they say, "Whoa, I don't know him." Then they start crying and, you know, race as fast as they can on their hands and knees, come crawling back to Maya. And then Maya scoops them up and they're covered in dirt now. They've been crawling around. But it makes it look more like they're decorated with it, like it's smeared on them. It adds to their beauty. And she just hugs them and feeds them. When they're getting a little bit older and a little bit stronger, then they would do things like this. They're still not fully solid on their feet to walk, but they can get around pretty well. Let's say there's a calf just sleeping over there. Shri Krishna will crawl over to one calf, Balaram will crawl over to the other, get a hold of their tail. Once the calf wakes up, he says, "Hey, what's going on?" And he'll start running and they won't let go. They still hold on and they're getting dragged everywhere, here and there. So Bhagavatam tells when the gopis saw this, they were like lotpot. They're rolling on, they're holding their bellies. They're laughing so hard, rolling on the ground. They were so enchanted by this vision of Krishna and Balaram doing this. Yashoda and Rohini had so much trouble concentrating on their household duties because Shri Krishna and Balaram became so active. You just turn your face for 1 second and they're going over here towards some peacock and they're worried, oh, the peacock shouldn't peck at them. Or on this side, they're going towards the fire. On this side, they're going towards some bush with thorns. Over here, there's water. They're just wandering. They're becoming too active. Now, when they were able to walk, then they started spending time with other boys of the same age. Shri Krishna just gives the maximum love with no seriousness, no restriction, no formality. So when they start